Okay, folks, here we are. The show that we've all been waiting for. Roflo from the MLB Network has joined Locked On Astros on the very day that we hit 1,000 subscribers. It is an epic day. There are epic trades happening, and we're going to talk to Roflo, Eric and I, and we've got so many questions about where he thinks the Astros are going, and does he see a World Series in the Astros' future? Locked On Astros starts right now.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Stros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can I find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
I'm sure you've never seen our guest before. Robert Flores, where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me right there at Roflo.
All righty. And I actually didn't know this, but you actually went to high school where I teach at Dobie High School. What year are you?
I graduated way back in 1988, proud member of the class of 1988. And after that, I graduated from University of Houston in 1992.
So you've always been a big Astros fan?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up going to the old Astrodome. You know, we would sit in the cheap seats there in the outfield. I do remember sleeping in the old Astrodome parking lot to get tickets to game one of the 86 NLCS against the Mets, sat in center field, saw Mike Scott out-duel Dwight Gooden and take game one of that series against the New York Mets. And coincidentally, any proud Astro fan of that era grew up hating the New York Mets. Coincidentally, I happened to share an office and work quite closely and very frequently with Ron Darling of the New York Mets. So it is, if you had told 16-year-old me that I would be sharing an office with Ron Darling of the New York Mets, of the hated New York Mets, I would have said you're crazy, but it just shows you how funny life is sometimes.
So yeah, it's awesome to have you on the show. And guys, thank y'all for everybody for subscribing to the Locked On Astros podcast on YouTube. We are now way past 1,000 subscribers, and we couldn't have done it with everybody who tunes in every day. And Roflo, you can see all the comments we have on the side. The good thing about this restream is people can actually become part of the conversation. So if y'all have a question and y'all want to ask Robert, just go ahead and ask a question. And another way to get part of the discussion is Spotify Green Room. We're going to do that probably on Friday or Saturday this week, and we'll talk about the trades that the Astros have made, and maybe are they going to make another trade. And we're let's go and talk about that, Robert. What do you think about the trade so far that James Click has made? Has he done enough?
Let me start by saying no, I don't think he's done enough, but I do like the deals. Garcia and Graveman needed desperately, because there's a variety of issues with this bullpen pre Garcia and Graveman, namely too many walks. That game, I believe it was Tuesday? Or maybe it was Wednesday. When Javier came in, just too many walks and not enough swing and miss. So with getting guys like Graveman and Garcia, that helps solve the problem. Now, what should they do? They need more. I've been saying if they get Craig Kimbrell, the Astros win the World Series. And I firmly believe that, because I think the lineup is good with Alex Bregman. And assuming Bregman comes back and is able to return to form, this lineup is even deeper. I think the starting rotation is good. It could be better. Maybe someone like Jose Berríos. What James Click has done is good, but it's not enough.
So with the Dodgers today, the 800-pound elephant in the room, with the Dodgers getting not only Scherzer, but Trey Turner, and basically pillaging the hen house, does a high price tag on Berríos, because that's what's being reported all over Major League Baseball that the Minnesota Twins keep raising the ante for Berrios. Yeah. Like they don't want pennies. They want the Benjamins. They want hundreds. They want a lot back.
Well, as they should.
Do you think that makes James Click want to go after a Berrios, someone like that, a bigger name, a Kimbrel, because of what the Dodgers did? Or do you think those are two independent things going on?
I thought that there was hold on just a second. Hold on. Looks like we lost signal. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Talk amongst yourself.
Yeah. So basically what we're doing is we're asking Robert to break down for us whether or not he thinks Turner, having both Turner and Scherzer changes the way Click deals with. Go ahead, Mr.
I think that, look, the price should be high for Jose Berrios. I mean, he's not a free agent, I believe, not until next season. And I think he's, you know, if you take away the Astro fandom aside, I don't know why. I think the Minnesota Twins could take this group of players that they have, including Jose Berrios, and try to run it back next season. But set that aside, I think Jose Berrios, I think the price tag should be high. Now, the Twins know what the Dodgers are doing and are reportedly going to do. And they know that the Astros desperately want to get a crack at another World Series title. So, yeah, they should try to see how high they can get the price. The Astros farm system is okay. It's been depleted over the past couple of years because of various trades. So, but let's just see how creative this front office can get.
Now, could they go out and get a Craig Kimbrel without actually depleting the farm system beyond repair?
That I don't know. That I don't know if they're going to be able to pull that off. I mean, that's the question. Do they have the prospect capital to get it done? I hope they do, because like I said, I think that they will get they win a World Series if Kimbrel is able to put on an Astros uniform.
Yeah, definitely. And so with that being said, I really think that James Click has definitely got some things in the mix for future trades, and we still have some time left. Now, when this is being played, it may be played after the trade deadline is up, and the Astros may have gone and swung for the fences. The fans want to know, what will it cost for the Astros to get someone like Kimbrel or even a Hendricks over here? I mean, Hendricks is an interesting name to think about, another starter, but if we have Kimbrel, we'll essentially have four closers on one, you know, bullpen.
Yeah. Look, I think, like I said, the way the game is played now, and people watching this stream have seen the playoff games, and they know how playoff games are won these days. It's with just enough starting pitching and a whole lot of bullpen pieces. Now, that being said, you look at what the Astros did in 2017. Sometimes they had their starters come out of the bullpen. Charlie Morton, Lance McCullers. I think the difference with those guys is particularly Morton. Morton could still bring it up, but could still bring it up there at 95, 96 miles per hour with a devastating curveball. McCullers also had great velocity as well. I'm not sure you bring in Kyle Hendricks out of the bullpen with his kind of arsenal or repertoire. So I think for me, the priority would be Kimbrel and then Berrios. But then the bigger question is, do they have enough to get it done?
Yeah, for sure. And I just saw that Max Scherzer will make his first start likely against the Houston Astros in L.A. So that's going to be there's already a whole bunch of drama playing against the Dodgers, but you know that's going to be must-see TV. So,
I mean, those two games were going to be great regardless. Now they just became off the charts. So I'm looking forward to those two games. I know Dodger fans are looking forward to it. So it should be interesting to see how it all plays out, especially if Max Scherzer is now in the mix.
So I know that we're kind of talking about the trades, but let's kind of talk about that series real quick. Kind of being in the national media, how is everybody looking forward to this series?
Well, right now, I think all the attention is being focused on the trade deadline and what the contenders are doing to improve their ball clubs. Certainly, the New York Yankees. Hey, Johnny, how you doing, man? Certainly the New York Yankees are have generated quite a bit of headlines for their acquisitions of Gallo and then Anthony Rizzo. Now the Dodgers and their pursuit of Scherzer and Turner. So that right there from a national headline or national media, baseball media perspective, all the focus right now is to the trade deadline. But make no mistake, when those two teams get together, I host our morning show, MLB Central, every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Houston time on MLB Network. We will be opening our show with what happened in those games the night before. That's how white hot the rivalry is. I think currently you put Astros Dodgers, Astros Yankees, Padres Dodgers among the hottest rivalries right now in all of baseball.
Yeah, I love that. And just to throw a bone for y'all's show, I absolutely love y'all's show. When I was in college, I actually graduated from Crosby High School on the northeast side of Houston in 93. So a little bit after you, but I remember the ESPN Sports Center, and that's really all we had. But with the MLB Network, I love y'all's breakdowns. I do like how y'all have basically the guys you root for, but you're also objective too. Like you're willing to look at both sides of the coin. What I wanted to ask you about was going into this San Francisco series. One of the things I've thought of, Dusty Baker nearly won a World Series with the Giants. Poetic as it would be for the Astros and the Giants to be in the World Series. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit.
No, but, I mean,
Dusty Baker winning in San Francisco is kind of a storybook ending. And if Dusty retires and rides into the sunset, what kind of story would that be? I mean, that sounds like a MLB TV network special to me.
Yeah, no, it would certainly be poetic for Dusty Marco, by the way, I went to Beverly Hills High School. Beverly Hills Middle School there.
Oh.
But look, Dusty had so many great years, a couple of near misses there in winning the World Series in San Francisco. He is one of the great managers in the history of the game. And what he has done these last season and a half in Houston under difficult circumstances, to say the least, I think just shows just what a great manager he is, what a great motivator he is, and his ability to communicate with today's players. I mean, Dusty is not a young guy, but he still has a unique way of communicating to his players. And you can tell this group of Astros love playing for him. I had one Astro player tell me that this clubhouse is as close as that 2017 group is. Now, does that mean it's going to translate to a World Series title? I don't know. No one knows at this point. But clearly, Dusty Baker has a hand in creating the culture that currently exists in that Astros clubhouse.
All righty. So, it's sometimes you just want to give Dusty Baker a Built Bar and just say, hey, have something good to eat. So, Brett, tell us a little bit about Built Bar.
All right. So, I'm excited because not only is Roflo on the show, but we also get to tell him about Built Bars. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar in the land. And I'm not even lying. If I could pick up my camera and go to my refrigerator and go to my pantry, I could show you the 4 to 5 boxes of Built Bar that we have. My favorite is basically a birthday cake, and it's phenomenal. What's great is they're wrapped in 100% chocolate. They have between 130 and 180 calories. They have 4 to 5 grams of sugar on average, 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. If you're the healthy conscious guy or girl, like the healthy guy right here, we got Roflo, he would want to check it out. 17 to 18 grams of protein. All kinds of flavors. Their new flavor is called Grasshopper Cookie. It's their take on the mint brownie. So check it out. Check out built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's built.com. Okay. LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your first order.
I'm writing that down right now. And is it built as in BILT.com?
No, BUILT.com, and use a promo code LOCKED15. Okay. And hey, even the USA track and field team consumes them. So why not?
I would have thought that, you know, maybe you send some bars to guest the show, but apparently that's
not happened. Let me talk to my people and I'll see what we can do.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Alrighty. So it sounds like Robert Flores is pretty confident about the Astros getting to the playoffs and maybe having a chance for the World Series. What about betonline.ag? Do you, Brett, do you think that they think the Astros will win?
I don't know. I mean, after that trade today, the odds probably just went up for the Dodgers. I'm pretty sure the odds makers are changing, but maybe that means that there's a bigger win in store for those of y'all that are Astros fans. So if you are into sports betting, or if you're like me, you're not an avid sports bettor, but you'd like to every once in a while to play the odds. They have all the experts. They have the latest news. You don't make frivolous bets on things that they don't already know. They have all the information, UFC, MMA, NHL, the NBA draft, who's going to trade the picks, who's going to go to the playoffs next year. Will LeBron, with his joining of Westbrook and Davis, will they go back to the NBA Finals? There's all this information and more. And if you go to betonline.ag, using your mobile device or on your computer, you can use the promo code Locked On and you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So you deposit that money, they give you a 50% welcome bonus. And for me, as a first-time sports bettor during the Super Bowl, Mr. Tom Brady, the GOAT, got me some cheddar. It was nice. It wasn't a ton. I was a little conservative, but now I know what I'm doing. So go to betonline.ag. They are your sportsbook experts. Use a promo code Locked On.
All right. So Steve Harden wants to know if the Astros stand pat right now, do you think that they'll go to division playoffs, or do you think that they're going to likely win the World Series as the team sits right now?
Man, that's a really good question, because as I said earlier to open, I really, really like the additions of Garcia and Graveman, but I feel like they're maybe a move away. Is it Kimbrel? Is it Berríos? If it's one or the other, I think that's very, very interesting. So if I had to choose, I would say go for Berríos. You know, here's what's going to be key for me. Framber Valdez has got to figure it out. He's got to figure it out. He was pitching like an ace soon after he came back, and then the walks have started to creep up again. He's got to figure that out. I had an Astro player tell me that when Framber was going well, he told me Framber is our ace. You know, look, Grinke, you know what you're going to get with Grinke. He's not going to be phased by the moment. I don't think anything could phase Zach Grinke, but he obviously has less room for error, right? But Framber Valdez, he needs to get it going again, figure it out, stop walking players, and I certainly would feel a lot better if they decided not to add to the rotation.
So Mike Stanton, when we had him on, he is on our AT&T Sportsnet. I'm sure you're familiar with Mike. Mm-hmm. He was talking about Framber's issues with throwing the ball and the curves and things like that. And he said for him, it's specifically to the way he holds the ball. And if he tweaks it just a little bit, because he doesn't have a traditional curve ball or breaking ball, but when it's on, it's on. And so that was one of the things that he actually pointed out. I was going to ask you a little personal question. I thought this would be interesting. Johnny wants to know, who gives you the most flack on MLB Network for being an Astros fan? Is it, I don't know. You tell me who it is. I think I've got in my mind who I think gives you the most crap about it.
You know what? It's all good natured ribbing. I think they all do. You know, my co-host, Lauren Shahadi, especially will poke fun at me and mention, well, your Astros are looking good, or a tough loss for your Astros. So, you know, it's like you said, look, if you are in this business, you were a fan of some team, right? We're all fans of one team, of one team or another, just growing up, being in the sports fans that we are. That's why we're in this business. So, It's not unusual, I don't think, for anchors, especially, or hosts, which is what I am, to have rooting interests. People know that, I grew up in Houston and yeah, I'm an Astros fan, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to go out wearing an Astros jersey on the set or use terms like we, or we got a big win, or things like that. I think I can still be trusted to be professional. And, that's the thing. First and foremost, be a professional, tell the story, and try to give the complete story as best you can.
Yeah. See, I just think Mark DeRosa would be the guy that would do the most ribbing. He just seems like one of those guys that really has a good time. Like, he seems like a dude that you just want to hang out with. I love y'all's banter. It's just very natural up there. Yeah. And that's what I think makes it such a good show.
Now, D-Ro is Mark DeRosa, who, spent a lot of years in Texas playing for the Texas Rangers. I've said it before that I think Mark DeRosa is the most talented analyst I've ever worked with. And I worked at 11 years at ESPN, and I worked with a lot of analysts in a lot of different sports. And for me, I think D-Ro is the most talented, most creative, and he's the best at relaying and analyzing the game in the way that it's like he has a TV producer's hat on, and not many analysts do that. I mean, they just come in and explain the game, but D-Ro really thinks about what's the best way I can explain it, what's the best way for TV that I can make it entertaining and informative.
After the win the other day, we saw Carlos Correa and Jose Altuve with that big long hug. And then afterwards they had that awkward smile. It's going to be hard to imagine Carlos Correa not being in Astros uniform.
Yeah.
I know we're focusing on trade deadline and where the Astros are, but while we got you on, what are your thoughts about Carlos Correa staying here past 2021?
Well, I think it's highly unlikely that he stays. I think that he will be playing for another team beginning next season. I don't know that for sure. That's just pure speculation on my part, but it's my guess that he will be moving on. When you look at, I go back to that contract that they offered him in towards the end of spring training. That was just basically telling you all that you need to know. That their offer was what they thought of Carlos Correa. I don't want to say it was a non-serious offer, but they had to know that he was not going to accept that. And the cynic could say that they offered it just for appearances' sake, right? Because they had to know he was not going to accept it. Lindor, Tatis, they're making $341 million. Is Carlos Correa a $300 million player? I don't know. I know he's not a $120 million player. I know that.
Yeah.
Right. For me, he's at least in the twos, and I think he's in the mid twos, if not more. So.
Now,
you know?
Yeah. Now, you being a lifelong Houstonian, you being, growing up, you remember, I know I do, when they refused to pay Nolan Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big swing and miss. Do you think Carlos Correa ranks up there as one of the biggest swing and misses in Astros history next to Nolan Ryan? Because
they don't sign him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if they don't sign him, I know Nolan was at a different stage in his career. I know he was a lot older, but mm-hmm. with what he did afterwards and going to the Hall of Fame as a Ranger, that rubbed a lot of Astros fans the wrong way. Could this be on par for this generation's team, like a big swing and miss like that?
I think that the situations are so different. I mean, Nolan Ryan was we thought at the time he was towards the end of his career, but he still pitched several years after. As I remember it, I was 16, 17 years old. So as I remember it, the former owner, the late John McMullen, didn't make a very, I don't even know if he offered
He didn't.
He
refused to do the multi-million dollar
to offer Nolan Ryan a contract. Nolan Ryan should have finished his career as a member of the Astros. It's as simple as that. Look, Carlos's contract situation is it's complicated, right? There is no doubt he is one of the most talented players in the entire league. Now, there was someone in the comments, I don't remember earlier, it says he has not done enough to earn that kind of money. He has gone through his slumps offensively. He just went through a major drought recently before busting out in the last game against Seattle. But look at what he does defensively, right? He has played like an MVP in the field. Some of the plays that he makes them look routine. They are not. And when he's gone, the Astros will miss his defense especially. But the other thing I would tell the people watching, and maybe not tell them, maybe just remind them, think of all the big moments that Carlos Correa has been a part of, and think of the big moments that Carlos Correa has generated. He is a big-time money player. He performs when the lights are brightest, and that matters. And not every player, even big money players, not every player can do that, but Carlos Correa can.
Yeah, looking at the competition in the AL, I know that the Yankees went out and made two big trades. They got Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah.
I know they're third place in the AL East right now. You got the White Sox, the Rays, the Red Sox. Then you have the A's and the Astros. Who's the Astros' biggest competition, and do the Yankees have enough to fight their way back in?
I don't think the Yankees make the playoffs. That's a kind of a hot take-ish bold prediction there, maybe. I could be wrong. I think the Astros' biggest competition is the White Sox. Their lineup is pretty scary. They added Eduardo Escobar, who is I think that's a great addition for their lineup. And I love their rotation. I love the White Sox rotation. I think if you're going head-to-head with lineups and rotations, I think the White Sox have a clear advantage over the Astros in terms of rotation. So for me, I know the Astros handled the White Sox earlier at Minute Maid, swept four games from them. And then did the White Sox take two of three most recently? Yeah, in Chicago. So I think that would be a really exciting series. I talked with one White Sox player, and I told him, I said that had the feel of an ALCS. I texted him after his last series, that last series with the Astros, and he texted back, yep, it sure did. So it would not surprise me if we see the White Sox and Astros meeting at some stage of the postseason.
You know, that's something that I've been saying all along with this team is I just don't see the Yankees making it. And it's not because they don't have talent. It's because they don't have pitching. I mean, they've got Gerrit Cole, and there's a massive drop-off. And so I just think the AL East, where the Red Sox, there were some people that predicted them to win 60 games all year.
Yeah.
And they have held their own. And like you said, and we talked many times, the White Sox, I believe, do present the greatest threat. I'm honestly not worried about the Red Sox in the playoffs.
You know, I got to correct something. I'm sorry. I don't know why I thought Escobar went to the White Sox. I know they were rumored, but he went to another Midwestern team. He went to the Milwaukee Brewers. So thanks to Marco for jogging my memory, though. With that being said, I know that there was talk that the White Sox maybe be in on Trevor Story and try him at second base or Tim Anderson second base. But I really like what the White Sox lineup. Eloy Jimenez, I know he's come back recently. So, and they're getting Luis Robert back. So they're starting to get their big pieces back at the right time.
I think they got didn't they get Carlos Hernandez or somebody from the
Cesar Hernandez? Yes,
Cesar Hernandez.
Yes, he helps them. They got him from Cleveland. I believe he was in that Lindor trade coming over from the Mets. So he will help them because I know they've had a hard time since Nicky Two Strikes went down. Nick Madrigal went down with that hamstring injury. So they've really had a hard time trying to figure out his replacement. So that should help.
And, you know, I think it's going to be an exciting playoffs on the American League side. And heck, the National League side, you've got three teams in one division that have a chance to make some big moves, you know?
Yeah. So like, especially with the Dodgers making that big move today, I still can't believe that they went out and got not only Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. And it looked like Dodgers fans were like, y'all were talking about Max Scherzer and we got Danny Duffy, really? And then they got Max Scherzer. So what do you think that does for the Dodgers as a whole?
Well, if this deal comes through and we're recording this as it is happening and unfolding, if it is official, then look, Astro fans know how good Max Scherzer is in the postseason. So I've said all along, I still think the Dodgers win this division. I really thought when the news came out earlier Thursday, I really thought that it was trending towards the Padres getting Max Scherzer. And I think that is a desperate, desperate need for the Padres. Yu Darvish has hit a little bit of a rough patch. Blake Snell hasn't really hit his stride yet there in San Diego. So it will be interesting to see what AJ Preller does in these next few hours that remain before the deadline, because the Padres need pitching. But with Scherzer and Turner, the Dodgers are back with where they were before the season began, and that's World Series favorites.
So to bring things back to the Astros, and you know, we have talked a little bit about the trades. Do you see the Astros going and getting another person? If we were to say, what do you think of the odds? Do you think if there's a 50% chance? Yeah, like we're not asking you to tell the exact future, but how big of a chance is it that they'll sign somebody?
A trade for?
That's a very, very good question. And it's a terrible, terrible time for my camera to freeze, but hold on.
Yeah, so we're just rocking and rolling through this trade talk, and here we go.
Yeah,
Robert, I know. With his answer.
I think that my gut tells me that they get one more. That they get one more piece. That's what my gut says. I don't know what the piece will be, though. I really don't. It's like I said, if I had my druthers, I say Kimbrel. But if it can't be Kimbrel, then Berríos. But if it depends on what the asking price is, the Twins are going to want a significant return, as they should. And it depends on if the Astros have enough to satisfy that want from the Twins.
So yeah, definitely.
The Astros win a World Series, do you see Dusty Baker walking away, Brett, after this season? And Robert, I'll throw that question to you as well. If the Astros win a World Series, do you see Dusty Baker walking away after this year?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a real good question. I would say, man, you know what? There's a chance. Yeah, there's a chance that he decides to walk away. So, but we got a lot of baseball left.
I know.
To play. But you talk about going out on a high note. I would not begrudge him if he decided to hang him up. Wheelbite 14 says no. Rodriguez from the Pirates. Absolutely. Richard Rodriguez would be an excellent addition. Here's the thing that I would, you know, you can make the argument that Rodriguez for the Pirates hasn't pitched in a high leverage, quote unquote. I mean, the Pirates have really been out of contention, right? You know, since probably the second week of the season. So he's been pitching in relative obscurity in Pittsburgh, and now you're going to throw him in the middle of some really high leverage, white hot pressure baseball. You know, you don't know. How is he going to respond? We don't know.
How good can Yordan Alvarez be, in your opinion?
I mean, he can be as good as he wants. He shouldn't be able to hit. Let me put it this way. He shouldn't know as much about hitting and how to hit for as young as he is. He's got a great sense of the strike zone. He has a great sense of what pitches he can do damage with. He did go through a little bit of a rough spot and went through his slump, like really the entire team did earlier. But man, he was just a throw-in for what, Josh Fields in a trade with the Dodgers. Hey, hats off to the Astros front office for making that deal at the time.
So we have Michael Conti as asking.
Yeah, good one.
Who's your favorite Astro all time?
Cesar Cedeno. Cesar was really the, you know, when I as a kid of the 70s, he was really the only superstar the Astros had. You know, had some injuries, had some other things happen. He didn't quite live up to the promise. I think someone had called him the next Willie Mays. And for whatever reason, or for a variety of reasons, it didn't work out. But man, when he played, he was, as I said, he was, you know, when you'd see the All-Star game, you wouldn't see a whole lot of Astros on that All-Star team in the 70s. But Cesar Cedeno was usually the one there. And he was an exciting player. If Astro fans aren't familiar with him, go on YouTube and look him up. Just an outstanding, exciting player.
Now, I know I grew up going to the Astrodome for games, but I don't know that all of our listeners got to experience the Astrodome. What is the difference for you, the biggest difference between the Astrodome and Minute Maid Park that maybe you like, maybe something that Minute Maid Park has that the Astrodome didn't have?
I like the fact that Minute Maid Park is it's a little bit more intimate than the cavernous Astrodome, right? So you do get the sense of that you're a little bit closer to the action at Minute Maid than you were at the Astrodome, but there's nothing like the Astrodome. I mean, there's a reason they call it the eighth wonder of the world. It was so, you know what it was? I mean, Houston back then really wasn't, I mean, it was a big city, but nationally it didn't have the profile, you know, especially from a sports perspective. But the Astrodome was unique to that city. No other city, you know, save for the Kingdome, but it came after. No other city had what we had, and that was that stadium. It was like walking into the 21st century. It was like walking into the future, and it was totally unique. The scoreboard with the bull and the guns going off and the animations. I mean, that all looked like just futuristic, mind-blowing technology at the time. And I loved going to it. I saw football games there. I saw basketball games there. I think the Rockets used to play some games there. So a lot of good trips there.
And go ahead.
My last question is this kind of going off of Shamar's question, but he asked, do you see Verlander returning for playoffs? But my question is, do you see Verlander re-signing with the Astros?
That's a good question. I get the sense that he loves it. He loved playing in the city for the team. You know, he certainly is familiar with it. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I mean, it doesn't seem likely that, I mean, Zach Greinke's big contract is coming off the books. You know, if Zach wants to come back, it's obviously not going to be at the current price that it is. They're going to have, I would think that they would have money to spend. You know, as I said, I don't see the Correa deal happening. So I figure that they are going to have money to spend. Hopefully they'll be aggressive, and maybe Justin Verlander is a part of those future plans. Obviously he's going to decide what he wants to do and what works best for him. But I don't think that that's out of the question to consider that a possibility.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Roflo, we do really appreciate you joining our show. It has been, I know, a conversation. I got in touch with you, and I know your schedule has been busy, but you are one of our own, and so we definitely wanted to have you on. And if you guys are going to be paying attention to the MLB trade deadline, I know tomorrow they're going to have a live show here. Is the MLB trade deadline is going to have a live YouTube channel streaming hot stove information for 2 hours of NBA trade analysis from our locked on lineup of local experts. And if the Astros do something big, Eric the Man Heisman's going to be there because I'm going to be at a water park hanging out with my nephew and family, kicking it back. And so check this out from 3 to 5 on July 30th. And you'll get all the latest news, all the local expert reactions. Robert Flores, alumni of Dobie High School,
yep.
Alumni of the University of Houston, go Cougs. Whose house? It's our house, right?
There you go.
Roflo, tell us where they can find you and tell us about your show and when it's on in case someone hasn't seen it for whatever reason.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we're normally on 9 a.m. Houston time, Monday through Friday on MLB Network. But tomorrow, because of all the trades and all the trade deadline, which comes later in the afternoon, we're going to be on at a special time tomorrow, 8 a.m. Houston time. Okay, that's 8 a.m. Central on MLB Network. It's MLB Central, myself, Lauren Shahadi, Mark DeRosa, and we will have all our insiders, all our analysts at the ready as soon as if there's trades that happen earlier in the day, and then after we're done at noon Central time, then we have our trade deadline special with a whole host of other people as well. So MLB Network will have you covered, no doubt, all day tomorrow.
Well, we do appreciate you joining the show. Eric, do you have any closing remarks?
But thank you for joining, and thank you for taking time. And a lot of people really appreciated this. And guys, keep on subscribing to Locked On Astros podcast. And we would do a after show, but the Locked On Rockets guy Jackson needs to come on and talk about the Rockets draft pick. And I think they just made a big trade. So,
Who did they get? Who did they get?
I think they traded for up for a pick. So sure they'll be talking about
that. Whoa, traded up for the number one pick.
Anyway, that's all we got for this Locked On Astros podcast, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you, Robert, for joining us, and go Stros.
Thanks for having me.